western storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I'd like to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our program today and for all the great work they do here at Holy Spirit Radio. And I want to thank also Frank Eliason for producing our program. Our show today is dedicated to all of the faithful parishioners who attend daily Mass each and every day, and to all of our clergy who have been there time and time again for the people within their parishes. And, you know, my friends, it is a blessing to be able to go to daily Mass and to receive communion each and every day, and to really have that kind of relationship with the Lord where you are, looking forward to attending Mass each and every day. And, God bless you to those faithful parishioners who are in that position where they do strive each and every day to attend Mass and to receive communion, and also for the clergy out there who are really tirelessly supporting their parishes. I applaud you and I commend you for the great work that you do year in and year out, and you are a blessing to all of us. And we want to acknowledge our priests out there, our deacons, our clergy who have been there, again, year in and year out to provide the support that we need as parishioners, as the flock, who need to be nourished and mentored and guided, all the time. And the needs of the parish, are multi. There's no question about it. The flock is always in need of something. You know, I remember years ago when we started Christmas caroling back in the mid-90s, and we would go to various nursing homes. We'd also go to the sick people who were on the list, the sick list within our parish, whose names were mentioned during the Masses. And we would go to house after house after house, and, our clergy, truly provided great levels of support, both in private homes and in hospitals, nursing homes, to these people who were parishioners within the parish, but now were either in nursing homes or temporarily hospitalized and also homebound. So again, we want to just recognize the great work that our clergy does to provide support to parishioners, to oversee the school children within their elementary schools, and to help the flock to really be formed through the wonderful sacraments that we have as Catholics. And so, again, to the clergy out there, we thank you for your great support, the effort you have put forth, and we acknowledge the wonderful work that you've done in your service to God in your community. I want to go into our readings this morning and just say that this is the 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time coming up this weekend. And our first reading is from the second book of Kings. And here it is. Chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. A man came from Baal Shishisa, bringing Elijah, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits, and fresh grain in the ear. Elijah said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and they shall be some left over. And when they had eaten, there was some left over as the Lord had said, the word of the Lord. And in the book of Kings today, the Lord says this, my friends, they shall eat and there shall be some left over. And when they had eaten, there was some left over as the Lord had said. So this is a great reading where we focus in on trusting in what the Lord says. Is there any doubt that the Lord will take care of us? Is there any doubt in your mind, in my mind, that the Lord will provide everything that we need? And he confirms this time and time again. And I remember back in my work within prison in the WINGS program, we had over 1,800 classes, and each class was 2.5 hours, and in the Philadelphia jails for approximately 10 years. And, you know, we've been doing the WINGS program since 1993, where we began in Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School in Northeast Philadelphia. But I'll tell you, in the prison system, in over 1,800 classes, only once did we have a violent situation break out within our classroom. And, you know, I can recall the events of the day, you know, where a gentleman came into the room after everybody had been seated, and I was teaching, and he came in and basically passed by my desk, and I said to him, I said, please come back and sign in. And he turned to me, looked, and then he turned around and walked towards this gentleman who was sitting down, and he said to him, it's time for you to go, bro. And the gentleman looked up and was perplexed, and the man standing over him began to stab at him with a shank, and another gentleman jumped in and began to punch on him as well. And before we knew it, the classroom was in chaos, and these two gentlemen proceeded to beat on the one sitting down. So I left the room to get the officers to come in, and they did, and they pepper sprayed these two men. And with that, we had for the first time a violent situation within the WINGS program erupt. And so when it was all done, all of our inmates were lined up in the hallway and basically were searched. And the three gentlemen involved in this, okay, including the victim, were taken away and you know, spoken to and put into the hole, so to speak, isolated confinement, solitary confinement. But I will tell you that I had a decision to make whether or not we're going to continue this class, and we did. We went to another classroom and we finished up the class, and we talked about this event and we moved on to other things. But I only share with you this event because the Lord truly has taken care of us in the WINGS program, in that we've been to 8 prison facilities in more than 25 years, 28 years to be exact, since 1993. And only one time did we have a violent event erupt within our classroom. And the Lord brought us through it. So the Lord, you know, does take care of us. There should be no doubt. Where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, the Lord will bless us. And truly, he has blessed us with the WINGS program and really secured things for us, helped to provide a safety net, if you will, in that he has truly taken care of the hearts and minds of the men in our classroom and protected us at all costs. And so over 1,800 classes, there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord, you know, gives us what we need all the time. Also, remember back in my aviation career, we had a situation where we had an engine fire on descent going into Washington, D.C. And You know, we had an AC generator overheat. The aircraft had four engines, and we had 50 people on board. And we were descending out of about 8,000 feet and to Washington, D.C., and an AC generator overheat light came on. We turned off the AC generator, which was the number two AC generator. And about 5 minutes later, we had visual confirmation of fire coming out of the number two engine. We had flames coming out of the front side of the engine. And so we identified it, verified it, confirmed, and shut down the number two engine, and we landed on three engines. And once we landed, everything was, you know, fine, and we, you know, continued our evening. But I'll just tell you that the Lord protected us that night. The Lord always gives us what we need. There should be no doubt. And I'm sure that you can look back into your own life, into situations that you had to endure, things that you were challenged with, the struggles that you were able to overcome with the Lord's help. And here we are today talking about it. And it's amazing because, you know, everything seems to be so difficult at the time, but many times the Lord will take care of business. He will take care of our needs as he does in the book of Kings today. And he says, you know, give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over. The Lord always has a sufficient amount to offer to us, and then some. There's always a surplus. And that's the message today within the Word, is that the Lord always comes through with more than we need. There'll always be some left over. And when we talk about, you know, food, physical food to eat, which is so important, we want to also talk highly about the love of God, which he provides an abundance of, giving us tremendous unconditional love throughout our lives. No matter what the situation, he always forgives us. He expects change. He expects us to make a change and to do things differently, to gain wisdom. But he always has an abundance of unconditional love for us, and he proves it to us time and time again. It's a very powerful message. I remember, you know, some events in my life where the Lord has come through. Difficulties in your life. If you recall how the Lord brought you through, to give him truly the accolades, if you will. You know, very often we see ball players who come up to the plate and they're at bat, and the first thing they do is make the sign of the cross. They put their faith first. They acknowledge God's presence in their lives and that he is the one who gives them the strength to go forward in that opportunity, you know, to come to the plate and do the very best that they can. So again, but the Lord, you know, proves to us that he will always give us more than we need. I want to move into our second reading now, which is from the book of Ephesians. And this is important, coming from the words of St. Paul. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call that you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the word of Ephesians today, the Lord says through the mouth of St. Paul, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call that you have received, my friends. What is your calling that God has given you today? Are you called to the single life, the married life, the religious life? And if so, are you called to be a preacher, a teacher, a confessor? Are you called to the gift of hospitality? What are the gifts that God has given you? And what is your calling in life? Because the Lord is telling us to live in a manner worthy of the call that you have received. So whatever calling that we have been given, we have to live up to that calling. And if we look into the single life, which is very challenging, practicing chastity, abstinence, self-discipline, very, very challenging lifestyle in which you have opportunity to do anything you want to do, but where you are single, you are not married, you have no children, you are called to a truly a life in which you have more free time than most. People called to the married life are committed to another person. They're committed to marriage, committed to their children, their family life. And so it's a calling that we need to live up to, my friends, with all humility and gentleness and patience. Bearing one another with love, striving to persevere and preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Very important. And so when you look at this reading today through St. Paul, we want to examine ourselves and, what is our calling in life? Where are we? What is our state in life? You know, the humility that we are called to is so important, and it's really required as we go forward to form great relationships, because humility is needed to really help to build a strong relationship with your wife, your child, other people, friends, neighbors, parishioners. And when we have humility, we're approachable. People will approach us, ask us for help, help us to grow in different ways as men and as women. Humility versus arrogance or overconfidence, the big ego. And this is important. I remember many years ago working over at Pan Am, interviewing pilots in Miami for Pan American World Airways. Sometimes we'd have pilots coming in who had, you know, the appearance of big egos and were arrogant during the interviews. And we'd always ask the question, you know, what is the difference between arrogance and confidence? And we tried to get that out on the table to identify the fact that, you know, we need to have more humility as pilots, as captains, as crew members working together on an airplane, so that we can go forward and do exactly what we needed to do professionally and not let ego get in the way of doing the work that we are called to in aviation safety. Very, very, you know, important for safety. So humility is key, and to not be dictators or authoritarians, but to be more diplomatic and also more loving, more compassionate, more approachable. And so humility, you know, is one of the callings that we see in the book of Ephesians today that we are striving to maintain. And we can all lose humility from time to time. We have to work at it. And no matter what your state in life, whether it be single life, married life, or religious life, as a preacher or teacher or confessor, it requires great humility, truly, to go forward and to do the work as a husband or wife or as a preacher or teacher or confessor. Certainly, the gift of hospitality requires great humility to serve others. And there are many who have that great gift of hospitality. I remember a woman whose name was Olga from our parish in Yardley, who brought together five or six people every Tuesday for maybe 2 years in preparation for a prayer group. She would serve dinner and basically out of the goodness of her heart would make dinner for us. And this was a gift that she had, the gift of hospitality and serving others. And she did it, very generously, very gladly. And I can remember that we all enjoyed the wonderful evenings that we spent in preparation for a prayer group on Tuesday evenings. And Olga has passed on now, but I just tell you that she was a great parishioner. She was a daily mass goer, a daily mass communicant. And remember, our show today is dedicated to all of those daily mass goers. And we appreciate that, because they are truly a role model, exemplary, and people who strive to go to church and to continue to build and maintain that strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And, so Olga had that great gift of hospitality, and which requires, once again, humility. And it's not that she wasn't outspoken and was an activist, and I tell you what, I can remember the day that 9/11 took place. We were actually coming out of church, going into church, and she had stopped me and she said, Joe, I think an aircraft had hit the World Trade Center. I said, really? And I said, that's incredible. I said, it must have been one of those small Cessnas. She said, no, I think it was a big airplane, So sure enough, we had gone to Mass, and after Mass, turn on the television, and there it was, 9/11 taking place before our eyes in large, heavy aircraft running into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. So in any case, she had that great gift of humility, and to open your hearts, I think, is the first step in gaining humility. It's really looking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, and asking him for, an open heart, a heart to do more for people, a heart to touch other hearts and other minds in different ways. And humility is such a great attribute, and we need more of it as husbands and wives, and as priests and deacons and bishops and clergy. We need more of it as teachers and preachers and confessors. But we definitely need more humility in the world today, because there is truly an abundance of ego and pride and arrogance and overconfidence and just a lack of godliness in our world today. So we're going to pray that God will bless all of us with more humility, and to bring that humility into your life, into my life, each and every moment of the day, so that we are more approachable. We deliver the message that we have been given to give in a more humble way. And this is the calling. The Lord was in the trenches. He didn't sit up on the throne while here on earth and just dictate. The Lord gave us the message with a very humble, approachable way. And to give us a childlike faith, help us to understand things the best that we can. And the Lord came to serve other people. He was a servant, and he was a teacher, but very approachable, as many of the apostles and other people asked them questions. And that's just proven in the Gospels as he did his work here on earth. So again, we pray for humility to overcome the big egos out there for us as men and women. And we also want to talk about gentleness versus harshness or being angry, always tough. And the Lord had the gentle way about him, the approachable way, where people would come to him. They loved him dearly, and they wanted to be close to him. They wanted to touch him. Because of that approachability, the Lord was truly, you know, so effective. You know, as the Son of God, he had the power to do anything, but he came like the Lamb of God. You know, he was sacrificed. He proved that he could do anything through the resurrection, but yet he showed us many things in a humble way, a gentle way, beautiful way, especially many of the miracles that he demonstrated before the eyes of other people. And we also see in the book of Ephesians, again, we want to live in a manner worthy of the call we have received, being patient versus impatient. And we know that people will test our patience, especially children. It requires a lot of patience to live in this world today, to work in this world today, to raise children, to care for the elderly. It takes patience to do many things. And just yesterday I was talking to one of the great caregivers who was taking care of my mom, who's 90 years old, in a nursing home over in Plymouth, Michigan, Canton, Michigan. And we have a FaceTime call each and every Wednesday. And we try to make that FaceTime call as great as possible with my sister and my mom. And she is blessed because of the patient caregivers, the humble and gentle caregivers who care for the people in that nursing home. And truly, we are blessed today, and we acknowledge it, because the caregivers throughout the world who have the patience and the compassion and the gentleness and the desire to take care of the elderly who have dementia and Alzheimer's and other things that require amazing time to give quality care, high quality care to these people, these individuals who were once very, very professional, very, very, you know, competent. Today, because of mental illness or physical illness, they require high quality care from other people. And so this requires great patience. And so I applaud all of our caregivers out there who do the job each and every day as nurses and nurses' aides and physicians and teachers, but all of our caregivers who care for the elderly, who have dementia and Alzheimer's and other diseases. Truly, you know, they are special, and God has placed them into the world to do that kind of work, as most people cannot do that kind of work. It requires, you know, just a special heart, if you will, to do more for those people. It requires a lot of humility to do the care, you know, that's necessary day in and day out for those individuals, including my mom, who is 90 years old, will be 91 on December 2nd this year. And so this is special. The reading from St. Paul talks about, you know, we want to bear one another with love. Okay, so we want to endure situations, get through it, hard times, hard conversations, difficult situations with love, unconditional love. And St. Paul says it best. Again, we want to bear one another with love, striving to persevere and preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So with love, we have peace. And that bond of peace is critical to future relationships. We want to bring the peace, as we said many times here on our radio station. We want to bring the peace and follow suit, because the Lord always brought the peace. He always said, peace be with you. Peace be upon you. Peace be with you. Multiple times. And peace is so important. And we get there, my friends, through love. So when we deliver the love of God through the Word of God, we bring the peace of God, which is so important. And we want to continue to do that each and every day of our life as we move forward. Whatever our calling is, whatever our state in life is, whether it be the single life, the married life, the religious life, whether we are preachers, teachers, confessors, or have the gift of hospitality, whatever your gifts are, we want to do it with great love. We want to bring the message as a preacher, as a teacher, as a confessor, with great love. We don't want to always, do it in a harsh way, an angry way. We want to do it in a loving way and follow the Lord's lead, so that we can bring and leave the bond of peace there, so that we have peaceful relationships with our children, our parents, our siblings, our spouses, with our parishioners. We want that, and we look forward to coming back and nourishing those relationships again and again and again through the bond of peace that we have. We don't have a dispeace. We don't have relationships that are depressed or angry or anxious through anxiety or fearful, because we bring fear to other people, but we bring the bond of peace through great love that we deliver, following once again in the Lord's way of doing things. And we are called to this. And St. Paul says it best. St. Paul himself, who was converted by the Lord, who is a master at delivering the word of God, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, tells us that we need to strive for the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we have this unity between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives within all of us, the unity between you and I, between my wife and I, my son and I, my daughter and I, between you and your parents, you and your children, the unity in the Spirit. Each spirit is in unison, working together in that bond of peace to maintain it. And that's a beautiful goal that we should strive for, that we acknowledge that God lives within all of us, and we leave no stone unturned, and that we want to strive for that bond of peace by delivering love to other people. But there is a Spirit, a Holy Spirit, who lives within all of us, and by that Spirit being, peaceful, joyful, we can work together. And we can form great, long-term, healthy, peaceful relationships and fulfill that calling, which is to, again, unify the Spirit who lives within us through that bond of peace. Very, very important. I want to take a moment for our listeners now, my friends, to remind you that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison. And we're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. And again, today our show is dedicated to all of our daily Mass goers, our daily Mass communicants, who make the effort to attend Mass each and every day, and who look forward to, receiving communion, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is just a beautiful blessing to us all. And we also dedicated our show today to all of the clergy who have been there time and time again for the people within their parishes. And we applaud our priests out there who are doing it right. Because we know, in the history of the church, the history of Christianity, history of the world, Men and women will make mistakes. No question, my friends. But today we applaud our priests who are doing it right. And we encourage you, my friends, to applaud your priest as well, personally, to take the time out of your day to give a call, make a visit, to bring a kind word to our priests who are doing great work out there and who have done it right, who have brought higher standards to the church, who have brought to the church more accountability and more love and appreciation for the flock, and who are really delivering the word of God in a loving and approachable, a gentle, a humble, and a beautiful way each and every time that they get up to the pulpit. So once again, we applaud our priests who are doing it right and who have been there for years. And they are out there, my friends. So I encourage you once again to bring that message to your priest and to say thank you for all of the things that they do, you know, as priests. Because, you know, it is a challenging lifestyle in some ways and a very beautiful lifestyle in other ways. There's no question. And so we encourage you to share with the priest your inner feelings about the great work that they are doing for you and your family in your parish. Okay, I want to move to the gospel reading today, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, 1 through 15. And here it is. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So that they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is truly one of the great miracles that the Lord performed in feeding 5,000 and with 2 barley loaves and 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the Lord, you know, multiplies the fish and the bread. And you know, when people saw the sign he had done, they said, you know, "Blessed are those who have not seen but believe." This is what the Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew. Because there people witnessed this great miracle, but you and I, my friends, have seen other miracles. We haven't seen what was seen in this Gospel of John today. But once again, like the first reading, the Lord provides. And he tested Philip because he knew what he was going to do. So the Lord's intentions are always there to give us more than we need, to eat abundantly. And he has said that in the gospel, where he says, I have come to help you to live life abundantly. And so he feeds us, you know, and in this miracle, we see the power of the Lord and the desire of the Lord to test Philip, you know, because Philip says, you know, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? And Philip answered, you know, 200 days wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. So this is an important message today, my friends, in that the Lord has the ability to feed the world, to give us all that we need. And, you know, he mentions in this reading, which is so important, that he tells the apostles to gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. And very often we see a lot of waste going into the garbage. We see people wasting food, wasting time, energy. We see a lot of waste that could be made for good use. I know there are some supermarkets that we used to go into in Philadelphia who provide some of the leftover foods that were expiring today, and would gather them up, and they would be brought to recovery homes, similar to the one that we went to for 7 years, the House of Adonai down at Frankfurt Avenue in Kensington, and leftover bread and donuts. Instead of throwing them out and eliminating the waste, you know, on the last day that they were to be sold, they were able to use them for the recovery homes. And this happens very often. There's a lot of waste that is put to good use. And, you know, we want to acknowledge those supermarkets out there who have done a great job. And we want to mention that, you know, the ShopRite Corporation has done a great job of putting people to work who have come out of prison, giving them a second chance. And this is one of the second chance employers that we have, you know, put men to work in over the years. And this is a beautiful thing. The Jeff Brown ShopRites in Philadelphia and Rich Saker ShopRites in New Jersey, you know, have worked with us in the past to help men to be put to work. And they have done a great job of bringing some of those leftovers to the people who really could use them. And I know in working at the recovery home where we had many men who were there for about a year for a rehabilitation program and due to drug addiction or alcoholism, you know, they were really appreciative of the good breads and donuts and extras that come from ShopRite and other supermarkets. So we just want to acknowledge once again the good that people do out there. And in the midst of the Word of God here, as we discuss the great miracle of feeding 5,000 by the Lord in the book of John, you know, we see that the Lord's miracles, you know, happen every day. There's no question, you know, that we look to the people such as Mother Teresa, who did so much for over 40 years to really feed the homeless and the AIDS victims, to take care of the sick and to give them, you know, clean sheets, help them to die with dignity or help them to get well. You know, but we see right here in Philadelphia that through companies such as Aid for Friends, who makes homes meals for the homeless and the frail elderly, for many years we went into different families' homes and brought meals that were composed by parishioners at different parishes. And in our parish, we used to make 400 to 600 meals a month. And visitors like myself would go out and bring those meals to each person, maybe 7 to 10 meals each and every week. And we had families in different parts of Bucks County. And also we had families in Philadelphia County as well. But it was a blessing because the parishioners themselves, those daily mass goers, were inspired to do something more for the community. And so what they did was to make meals and to bring food and desserts in and basically help to put them in a platter and to freeze them. And then a visitor would come in and take those meals to a family's home. And we had various families who were supported through Aid for Friends. And they were fed for many months or many years. And I remember going into Chad Lindsay's home over in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And Chad was actually my first family to bring meals to. Chad was a 25-year-old victim of multiple sclerosis, excuse me. He had been a drug user and alcoholic for 13 years, and had gotten clean and sober. And within 6 months of being clean, he came down with MS, or multiple sclerosis. And on the day I brought him his first set of meals, he had just returned from having his braces put on his legs because of the MS. And so for 6 years, we brought him meals each and every Friday and helped to support him by bringing him great food that was prepared by the parishioners, the daily mass goers who were involved with Aid for Friends, and to provide food for the people who had no food, who could not go out and shop. And Chad went on for a couple years with those crutches and braces on his legs and then moved into a wheelchair because the MS progressively got worse. And as we continued our relationship, we coached Chad into becoming a sponsor for AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Although he had trouble getting around and couldn't drive, he was able to get an electric wheelchair. And we did advocate for him to have an elevator installed in his basement apartment, giving him mobility onto the sidewalk and able to get to the library, and to also be a sponsor in AA to help people. He ran a suicide hotline from his house. And also we ran the WINGS program for Narcotics Anonymous with his help, and for men who had addiction to opiates, addiction to heroin, methamphetamine, alcohol, and other things. So, you know, through Chad, we were able to do a lot of good work in the WINGS program, and that all started through Aid for Friends, which really started because of a heart to do more. And if you have a heart to do more, it's amazing how the Lord will use you to feed the flock in different ways, not only in meals, you know, the actual practical physical food and those provisions, but to bring the love of God and other things to people. I remember through Aid for Friends going into the Grundy Towers in Bristol also, where they had many people living there. And we met a gentleman by the name of Bill Flynn, and Bill was, you know, living at the Grundy Towers. And we were bringing communion to two other people there each and every Saturday night. And I met Bill in the elevator, and he had missed the bus for church. But I just tell you that, you know, when talking to Bill, we said to him, you know, that we bring communion to several parishioners here each and every Saturday, and if you would like it, we can bring you communion. He said, you would do that for me? I said, of course we would. And so we met with Bill, and he was the third person on our list at the Grundy Towers. And once again, each and every Saturday, we met with Bill. And Bill had a unique situation where he had lost his wife and his mother in a short time. He also had suffered a heart attack and recovered from that. But Bill had a an amputation, and he needed some support. And so we would bring in some other people with our ministry, and they would come with us on Saturday night. We brought a good friend, Jack Salmon, and Dr. Joe Maxian, and we helped to bring camaraderie and brotherhood and the Word of God and communion, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, to Bill each and every week. And I'll never forget the day after about 4 or 5 months of visiting Bill. I got a call from Bill's son, and Bill's son said to me, he said, Joe, I hear my dad had told me that you were not going to visit this weekend, or you were coming this weekend on Sunday instead of Saturday because you had visits with your family. And I said, yes, that's true. He said, I just wanted to tell you that you won't have to come on Sunday because Dad died. And I couldn't believe it. I almost, you know, fell off my chair because he looked so good. And we had really brought him a lot of peace and camaraderie and brotherhood and the Word of God. We had great conversations amongst the four of us. But Bill died. And it was his time. And his son asked me if I would do the eulogy at the church. And I said, of course, you know, I'd be more than happy to. And so, you know, with that, I called Jack and I said, Jack, are you sitting down? And Jack was half paralyzed and for quite a number of years due to a stroke. And so was Dr. Joe, who was also paralyzed. And so we shared that news with Jack, and Jack was just amazed because Bill looked so good. And we had such great conversations. But again, he was on borrowed time. It was his time. God called him home. And, you know, we delivered that great eulogy to his friends and family. And I just share that with you, my friends, because that all came through aid for friends and having a heart to do more, which is so important. And the Lord calls us to it as he himself had a heart to do so much more for all of us in feeding the flock, to feed 5,000 out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Lord fed 5,000, demonstrating his great power of multiplication and his great love for us as he wants to, you know, be there for us and show us truly that we can do many things. And even the Lord said that we will do greater things than he does. And so he is our role model. He is our king. He is our leader. He is the person we look to in how to proceed in doing more for other people. And in the great miracle, again, of feeding 5,000, the Lord proves to Philip and Andrew and to everyone that he can do it on his own. And that's what he does, my friends. And he did it for us up at the Grundy Towers with the help of Aid for Friends, a great organization, you know, similar to others, nonprofit organizations who do great work out there in different ways. And like Aid for Friends, you know, Holy Spirit Radio right here is feeding the flock, not physical food, but the mental and spiritual nourishment that we are called to give out. We are called to proclaim the message of the gospel. We are feeding people spiritually and mentally, lifting them up so that they can have a great day. They can live life in a better way so that they can put the past into the past and move forward into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, which is so important. And that's what we do here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And like Holy Spirit Radio, my friends, we in the Wings program under the guidance and the providence of God, have delivered as much as we can into the prison system and recovery homes in 28 years, you know, of the WINGS program, bringing mentorship and love and support and guidance and direction, and mostly the love of God to the hearts and minds of people who are incarcerated, people who are stricken with addiction and alcoholism. It's amazing how God has used us here at Holy Spirit Radio and in the WINGS program and great people in Aid for Friends and like Mother Teresa in the Missionaries of Charity and like so many other nonprofit organizations who are doing great work out there because they have a heart for the Lord. They have a heart to do more. And it all starts with prayer. You know, and, you know, Mother Teresa is truly a leader, you know, and the road to peace, she says, is through prayer. You know, that the fruit of prayer, you know, is love. And the fruit of love is service to other people. And the fruit of service to other people is peace. And we get that peace, like St. Paul has said in the book of Ephesians earlier, that we strive to have the unity through the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit. And God brings like-minded people together, people whose spirit working together to deliver different things for different people. Unconditional love, food, friendship, peace, compassion, generosity, humor, all great things, great attributes that people need to get through life during difficult times. These things are essential, and God nourishes our hearts and prepares them to do the things that he calls us to do more for the people who love him the most. And we are called to do it, my friends. And because today's show is dedicated to those people who do a great deal for others, we acknowledge the great work of our priests and our daily communicants, who spend a lot of time doing more for the people who are truly in need. And God has put us out there, my friends, like the nurse in my mom's nursing home. We are called to do more. And like the people who work at Aid for Friends and the Missionaries of Charity and the WINGS program and Holy Spirit Radio and EWTN, we too are called to do more today, not tomorrow, but we do it today because God calls us to do it. So I encourage you, my friends, to step up to the plate, to do your part, and to bring all that you can to other people in an approachable way, a loving way, a kind and gentle way. Above all, bringing the peace of God and preserving that unity in the Spirit with like-minded people. We ask this today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today, my friends. I hope you enjoyed it. May God bless you and may God keep you until you hear us next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day and God bless.